From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week from the Southern Theater in Columbus, Ohio, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a 17-year-old violinist from here in Columbus playing the famous Saber Dance by Khachaturian. And roving reporter Chaley Smith finds out why that violinist teacher is so good that the poor boy drives 14 hours each week for his lesson. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you for your warm welcome. Right off, I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, McGraw-Hill Education. They're our good friends. We've been working with them for a number of years. They feature From the Top performers in the K-12 textbooks they publish every year. This is our first time in Columbus, and I have to say, you know, the acoustics and ambiance of the Southern Theater are unmatched. It's just been fantastic spending time here, and thank you for having us. We also want to extend thanks to one of the oldest and one of the best public radio stations in the country, WOSU 89.7. We've got a lot of Buckeyes on our show today, including Columbus's own world-class teenage string quartet. They call themselves Opus. A fantastic 14-year-old cellist from Cincinnati, and this local kid standing on stage with me now. Join me in welcoming that wonderful 17-year-old violinist from nearby Westerville, who Joanne mentioned, Siwoo Kim. Siwoo, welcome to the program. We're very excited about this opening piece you're going to play. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
Okay, we will play Saber Dance, composed by Khachaturian and transcribed by Yasha Heifetz.
When you're ready, we will take it from the top. Siwoo Kim, our 17-year-old violinist, playing The Saber Dance by Khachaturian, arranged by Yasha Heifetz. He comes to us from nearby Westerville, Ohio. That was hot, my man. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Really nice. So in order to play like that, how many hours do you drive every Saturday morning for your violin lessons?
Around 7 hours.
One way, seven hours? When do you get up in the morning to do this trip? Where are you studying?
You're living in Chicago, in the Music Institute of Chicago, and I get up at around 3 in the morning.
Whew. Okay, well, so who is this teacher that you're driving all this way for?
Almeida Vamos and her husband, Roland Vamos.
So is she worth it?
Yeah, I really like her. Every lesson I gain something new, and... Yeah.
I'm pulling your leg. I mean, of course, we know the opportunity to study with Almeida Vamos is well worth it. We've, here at From the Top, had 9 or 10 of her students on the show. She's one of the most sought-after violin teachers in this country. Roving reporter Chailey Smith, a violinist herself, and you'll be hearing her playing in the second half of our show, listened in on your lesson, Siwu, last Saturday and spoke with Ms. Vamos.
Hi.
Hi, Siwu. How are you?
Pretty good.
Are you tired? You've had a long trip?
Kinda, yeah. But I slept in the car.
All right, you want to start with Brahms?
Yeah,
you've been practicing. Did you warm up a little bit?
Yeah.
So tell me what you're looking for in general when you take on a new student.
The thing besides the playing, of course, you listen to somebody and you see if they're interested in music. I'm very interested in a character that I think will blend with my personality, mm-hmm. somebody that I can work with. And some people come into the lesson, may not be even the most advanced player, but the lesson is so much fun. And I notice these things when I take a student, I can tell at the interview, wow, this student, I'm sorry they're not that great, but I'm going to take them. I just love this person.
And how does that fit in with Siwu? What elements of his personality attracted you at first?
Well, if you look at Siwu, you'll be able to tell by looking at his face right away before the first words are spoken. He's a very sweet person, and he's very genuine. You look at the eyes, and you can see, this is a nice person. Mm-hmm. It didn't take me very long, and you know what? I wasn't wrong. So far, I wasn't wrong.
Good, I like that nice hyphen scratch there. But you'll try to not scratch that much, but I don't want you to be careful either. Mm-hmm. I want you to do it.
I listened in on this lesson that you had with him, and one thing that I found really, really interesting, but I noticed that what you do in the lesson is you sing along pretty much the whole time while he's playing. Are you aware that you do that?
Sometimes I put my hand over my mouth. It's almost involuntary that I can't help but mm-hmm. sing. I once had a very charming student who said to me, Mrs. Vamos, can you hear me when you're singing? And I laughed and I said, when you play the way I want you to, I'll probably stop singing. I do it to encourage them. It's one way that sometimes talking doesn't say it, so mm-hmm. and singing does. My students don't seem to mind, although if I were listening to me singing, I might mind.
Okay, now I heard a little, this is the theme. And it's gorgeous. And everybody's waiting for it. And then the bow is close to the bridge, and you get a little bit of a scratch in the middle of it, and you're dead, right? So,
when kids like Siwu get to study with someone like you, it's a sign that they are really one of the top players for their age, maybe in the country even. Do you ever worry that maybe you are getting kids' hopes up for careers in music that either won't happen or will be really, really hard to achieve just because there's so many people, you know, trying to be soloists, trying to get the top orchestra spots?
That is an excellent question. No, because what could be terrible about learning to play an instrument very well? These kids are very bright. I encourage them to continue getting great grades in school. Mm-hmm. I tell them about the career, but anybody who does anything just to be the greatest. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a doctor and it's only because you want a Pulitzer Prize. No, I think that's the wrong way to go into it.
So I think this could be more passionate, mm-hmm. and I think it can grow more, and I think you should just give everything you have here. And I want to see it in you. I want to see that, like, each one, more and more. Almost built to a frenzy.
The biggest challenge is when you have such talented students who are putting in so much time and effort and traveling, and they have an hour with you, and you have many, many students. It's a big responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. I know that it's very important. I try to do my very, very best with the students because not only do I want to develop a talent, I surely don't want to ruin a big talent. So I think that when a student comes out, if I'm very tired, I say to myself, you've had 8 hours of teaching. He gets only 1 hour a week with you. You better do a good job.
Siwoo, I think we've established that she's definitely worth the trip. It was wonderful doing that saber dance with you.
Oh, thank you so
Thanks
much.
For being with us, Siwoo. Siwoo Kim, 17-year-old violinist from here in Columbus.
As you can hear from the applause, our live tapings are fun. Don't miss your chance to see From the Top live. Go to fromthetop.org to see when we're coming to a town near you. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer has come all the way from Houston. She's an outstanding 18-year-old pianist who has the perfect vision of her future. More about that later. Now please welcome Stephanie Chan. Stephanie, welcome. What have you brought to play for us?
I will be playing the last movement of Prokofiev's Sonata No. 6. Thank you.
our 18-year-old pianist from Houston, Texas, Stephanie Chan, playing the final vivace from Prokofiev's Sonata No. 6, one of his war sonatas. Stephanie, really great job, and how wonderful of you to be so brave in taking on this, I think, probably the darkest of the war sonatas. The 7th, of course, everybody knows, sort of militaristic and acerbic, and the 8th is sort of more meditative. The 6th is really the darkest and most aggressive, and you really had a wonderful handle on it, I thought.
Thank you.
Such an aggressive piece.
Yes.
So, but finding that particular voice in your playing, does that speak to a readily available part of your personality, do you think?
No, definitely not. Actually, when I first started taking lessons from my current teacher, he used to tell me all the time that I was too nice when I played, and that I needed to be a lot more loud and passionate, so.
Very, very chilling, the performance. I think you found your aggressive side. It was
Thank
a very
you.
Convincing picture of war. And your mom also thinks you're not only play too nice, but you're too nice as a person.
Yes.
You seem very nice. I mean, how can you be too nice?
Well, she used to talk to me all the time about how my personality is just too quiet and too shy, and she always worried that people would take advantage of me and stuff.
And do you feel that that's something that you fear, or
No, not anymore. I think I've gotten a lot better with that. I mean, I used to be so easily embarrassed, but now I'm. If you
and now here you are. I mean, not easily embarrassed at all. Clearly. So that's gotten better. Your mom actually had an interesting strategy. The one time you wanted to quit, you told her you wanted to quit the piano. What did she do?
Yes, I was very young, and I wanted to play with my friends instead of practice all the time. So she told me that if I really wanted to quit, that I should tell my teacher myself. And of course, I was too scared to do that.
So it's okay to talk back to your mom.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. You know, totally no problem with talking back to mom, but actually telling something dangerous to the piano teacher, totally fearful.
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, because you tell me, because I don't know. Is it that we fear that the piano teacher is going to go postal and kill us, or that they're just going to self-destruct? I mean, what was it for you?
I was afraid she was going to kill me.
Yeah. Which is a nice feeling to have one about one's piano teacher, don't you think? And yet, you want to be a teacher yourself.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I've just started teaching this past year a couple of kids, and they're beginners, but and so their music is really easy, but it's still a lot of fun to teach them, and you can teach them so many complex ideas even though they're playing really simple pieces, and it's just so satisfying to see when they actually get something and they're happy with their playing.
It's a great gratifying feeling.
Yes.
I understand you also have, I think, the best plan for your teaching studio, your fantasy teaching studio of the future.
Yes. Well, I want to have a music studio in Italy,
okay.
Overlooking
Good
a
start.
Lake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it has to be very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure all of Italy is like that. And so next to the music studio, there'd be a little coffee shop. For parents, you know, they can sit there and relax while their kids have their lessons, or, you know, after your lesson, you could go and have some coffee and relax. And, of course, everything would be glass windows, so you could see all the beauty outside.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Leave room for me. I'll come take lessons myself.
Sure.
And I'll take a non-fat latte with my lesson as well. Is that all right? Stephanie, thank you for being with us. Great
thank
performance.
You.
Great talking with you. Stephanie Chan, 18-year-old pianist from Houston, Texas. It's time for our next Ohioan. He's a fantastic 14-year-old cellist from Cincinnati. Please welcome Coleman Itzkoff. Welcome, Coleman. Very excited about this. One of my favorite pieces of Chopin, bar none. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
It's the Polonaise Brilliante by Chopin.
Thank you.
our 14-year-old cellist, Coleman Itzkoff, playing Chopin from down the road to the southwest in Cincinnati, he hails from. Coleman, we've never had that piece on the show before. I'm so glad I got to play it with you. So special.
It's wonderful.
Fun. I enjoyed that with you. Both your parents are quite accomplished string players. Where do your dad and mom play?
Yeah, my dad's a violinist in the Cincinnati Symphony, and my mom's principal violist of Cincinnati Chamber Orchestra.
So, but if your parents play violin and viola, why are you playing the cello? I mean, are you getting a string trio together sort of thing?
No. It's funny, actually. My brother started on violin, so he tried that out, and it drove him crazy. You know, he would get headaches while I played. He would just, he hated it, and he played it for, I don't know, like 2 years or something.
Yeah.
And so my parents didn't want that. This is my older brother, and when I was about to play an instrument, my parents didn't want me to go mad. So I guess that was part of the reason I play cello.
You're
not really insane.
Your brother,
just,
okay, I was just going to say, I mean, you know.
Headaches.
It sounds like an episode of Scarred or maybe the next slasher movie or something. Your brother is okay.
And yeah, he was fine.
He means nobody harm, and you obviously broke the curse of the violin. whatever Freddy Krueger-esque thing we want to make up about it. So. It seems to work for you. You want to do this professionally, I would imagine, yes?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I want to be a soloist, preferably, obviously, but...
Well, and here you are, a soloist.
Yeah,
done,
but...
Done, you know.
Second choice would for sure be chamber music, because I think that produces the best music. I mean, I just love it. I love to listen to it.
And it pays so well, too.
Yeah, and it pays so well.
Well, Coleman, word to the wise, if you want to work in classical music, don't pull practical jokes on your conductor.
Yeah.
You're a practical joker by nature. I mean, I've been sort of, you know, walking on eggshells, you know, around you this whole week, you know, wondering what you're going to pull. So you pull some pretty professional stuff.
Yeah, there's a time in London when I was touring with my my Starling Chamber Orchestra in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And it was a rehearsal, and my friend had bought a fart machine. So I thought it would be a clever idea to put it under the conductor's music. Yeah.
This is a radio-operated device.
Yeah,
I'm going to pretend I don't know what you're talking about.
With the button and everything. High-tech stuff.
Okay, yeah. Very good. So it's under his music, and what happens?
So there's a pause in the music. I press the button. He looks around. He looks around, sees if anyone notices. I guess he thought it was him. Next pause comes around, and I press it again, looks around again, and we all start cracking up. So he's pretty red by this point.
Yeah.
And after about five times, he realizes it isn't him.
Good.
It's the machine under his music.
Very good.
So.
But at no point as the helpful cellist did you put an air wick in front of your stand or something just to give him a gentle hint or anything like that? Coleman, great being with you. Great
Thank
playing
you.
With you. Thanks for being with us. Coleman Itzkoff, 14 years old. Catch him tearing up some rails in Cincinnati.
You're listening to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from the Southern Theater in Columbus, Ohio. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence.
This is Carl Castle at NPR. Unfortunately, we've lost the satellite feed of this week's From the Top from Columbus, Ohio. While we work to correct the problem, we invite you to listen to a pilot for a new game show that we're planning here at the network.
It's Quartet Feud, the exciting new game where two string quartets compete to find out which one will get to play an encore. Here's your host, Pat Pompadour!
Hey, welcome! Hey! All right! How are you doing? You let him in. Welcome to Quartet Feud, everybody. Today's contest promises to be especially spicy. We've got an all-girl quartet facing off against an all-boy quartet. So prepare for a teenage gender battle. It's going to be fun. Woo! Let's get right to it and meet our first quartestants.
It's two sets of sisters from Philly, and this girl group has some pretty strong opinions about boys. The Smith sisters say that boy quartets are egotistical and can't talk about their feelings, and the Tabby twins add that boys have so little to work with when it comes to their concert attire. Pat.
They're Chailey and Madeline. That's not descriptive. Those are their names. Chailey and Madeline Smith, 15 and 17. And our other sisters are Sabrina and Genevieve Tabby, both 16. The quartet calls themselves Serafina. Please welcome them. Let's get to know our first quartet, Genevieve. Joanne was just saying that you will all share some frustrations about boys. What's the biggest problem?
Well, I think that boys are uncommunicative, arrogant, and lazy.
Opus. Oh, Sabrina, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm just getting over a cold or something.
Or a little Tourette's. How great. How nice. Okay. I can see that could be a real problem, Genevieve. Why don't I just insert an awkward pause right here? Nice.
That
awkward.
Awkward. That was good.
Especially in chamber music, non-communication. I hope you get to vent some of that frustration today in our game. Sabrina, when you and your sister Jen aren't playing music or are trying to talk to boys, you're doing pirouettes, aren't you?
Yes, me and my sister both do about 2 hours of ballet 5 days a week.
Fantastic. Dancing and playing. And speaking of dancing, Madeline, can I call you Mads? You do your own kind of dancing, don't you?
Yeah, I love Dance Dance Revolution, the video game where you follow the signals on the screen to tell you when to dance.
So basically, you're not really doing anything but dancing with your computer, are you?
Yeah, but I love video games. I have the mentality of a sixth grade boy.
That's so sad. You go, girl. 3 hours a day at Dance Dance Revolution.
Yep.
All right. See if you can work up to four. Fantastic. Hope that works out for you. And Chailey, I understand this isn't your first time on radio now, is it?
That's right, Pat. I'm actually the Rubin reporter for a NPR series called From the Top.
Oh, From the Top. Isn't that show that does really stupid things with otherwise talented kid musicians?
That's the one.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Hope that turns around for you. Now, you four are the closest of friends, and your sisters, pairs of sisters. Tell the truth now. Don't you get just a little sick of each other?
Not at all.
No, I don't think we could ever get sick of each other. We work really well as a group, and because there's two sets of sisters, if somebody's getting out of line, their sister can just yell at them, so it's never, like, a problem.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we have perfect chemistry.
Awesome chemistry. Well, let's hear a little bit of that chemistry right now. What are you going to play for us?
We'll be playing Shostakovich number 8, second movement.
All right. Stage is yours.
Thank you.
The second movement of Shostakovich's Eighth Quartet, played by Serafina from Philadelphia, Sabrina Tabby and Chaley Smith, 16 and 15 respectively, violinist, Chaley's sister Madeline, 17-year-old violist, and Sabrina's twin sister Genevieve Cello. And if you remember your biology, you know that Genevieve is also 16. Fantastic playing, girls. Now let's bring out our second group of quartetists.
Pat, this quartet is all boys all the time, and they're all from Ohio. The violist is sure they're going to win today, while the cellist says that if only they could challenge the girls to ultimate frisbee, they'd crush them. The two violinists in the group seem to be too good to talk to the girls before the show on the website Facebook, and they all would prefer not to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes.
They're James Rubino, Jeffrey Myers, and Matthew Kufchek, all 18, and Reuben Payne, 17. They call themselves Opus. Let's hear it for the boys. Okay, let's find a little bit more about these guys. Joanne mentioned that the girls and Serafina contacted you all on Facebook, but James and Jeff, you blew them off. Why?
It's a violinist thing.
Okay, we'll go with that. And why, Jeff, just for our listening audience, don't you want to discuss the Buckeyes?
Well, let's just say for the benefit of the Ohio State Buckeyes, it'd be better if Florida seceded from the Union.
Reuben, why do they say you're the most argumentative of the group?
Well, first of all, I'm the only one in the quartet that has any brains.
Now, every time we come up with a musical idea, Reuben's just like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be.
And I like to play devil's advocate to make them think about what they're doing.
We normally don't think at all.
So. Matthew, you've got quite an ego yourself, but then again, you're the only one in this group that's won the Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Congratulations on
that.
Is it true, Matthew, what the others say? I always love talking to boy bands. It's just all the great stuff that you can get. Is it always true that you think you're always right?
Yeah, I'm always right. Well, for his 18th birthday, I bought him this great T-shirt that... What did it say?
Sorry, this is a Jeff moment, by the way.
Oh, he's just forgetting,
yeah,
I guess, everything.
He tends to do that. It says, people who think they know everything are annoying to those of us who do. It's perfect for Matt.
What could this all-boy quartet play that could possibly be as good as the Shostakovich the girls played?
Beethoven, Opus 59, number 3, the fourth movement.
All right, take it away.
Thank you.
final movement of the Beethoven Quartet, the Rasmussen Quartet, Opus 59, number 3, played by Opus, Jeffrey Myers and James Rubino, both 18-year-old violinists, 17-year-old violist Ruben Payne, and Matthew Kufchak, 18-year-old cellist. Playing standing up gives you, I think, a different sort of more open, sort of an exuberant sound, wouldn't you say? Is that how it feels? It's certainly how it sounds.
Yeah, it's easier to walk over to James and beat him up during that.
All this hating.
We love you, Pat. Yeah.
Thanks. Terrific, gents. Okay, we've met all of our quartestants. Now let's play Quartet Feud.
The winners of Quartet Feud don't win any fabulous prizes, but they do get to play another string quartet as an encore. Does it get any better than that, Chris? I mean, Pat.
No, it doesn't, Joanne. I guess you weren't referring to my hair necessarily, but I appreciate it. Welcome back, ladies. You ready to feud?
Oh, we were born ready.
All right, awesome, great. Okay, quartestants, we surveyed over 100 teenage string players to find out their opinions on the pressing string quartet issues of the day. It's your job to guess the number one answer most kids gave for each question on our survey. Serafina, who's your captain?
Sabrina.
Sabrina will be the captain, okay? And Opus?
This is Captain Matt here.
Captain Matt. All right, everybody, you know how this works. You have exactly 10 seconds to consult with each other and then tries at giving me the top response to our survey. Boys, you're going to go first.
Oh, no.
Pressure's on, I know. It's great. Question number one. Give the top answer for our survey question. What's the most difficult thing musically about playing in a string quartet?
Playing together?
Playing together.
Yeah. That definitely wasn't 10 seconds.
Well.
The answer is playing together.
Playing together. Okay. Our survey said the top answer was ensemble sound or musical togetherness. We'll take that. All right, Matthew.
What can we say? He's always right.
That's right. Man, that first question for the girls. Give the top answer for our survey question. What's the best practice technique a quartet can use to improve intonation?
Playing slowly.
Really slowly?
Playing slowly.
Yeah. Wait, are you sure?
Is he playing slowly?
Yeah.
Do you want to use one of your lifelines?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I interrupted your 10 seconds.
Okay.
Do you have an answer?
Playing slowly.
Our survey said the top answer was practicing slowly. Yes. Okay, open. What was the top answer our survey of 100 musicians came up with for the most common complaint lodged against the first violinist of a string quartet?
They play too loud.
Yeah, head. Either that or their head is too big.
Jeff's big head.
Or out of tune.
It's a hard choice, but
I like that too.
Okay.
Matt, what do the boys say?
We're going to go with, you're playing too loud.
As a matter of fact, our survey said the top answer was too loud. Here's question number two for the girls. Give the top answer our survey came up with for when performing one of Shostakovich's fabulous quartets like you girls just did. What's the most important thing for a quartet to capture regarding his compositional style?
Oh, wow.
What's the most important thing about him?
His phrases,
right? Wait, well, what about
the
rhythm?
Well, the intensity.
Yeah, the
okay. Seems to be some argument.
Okay.
What's the final answer?
Okay. His intensity?
Our survey said the top answer was sort of the dark, scary, emotional core, words, terror, sarcasm, misery. Intensity, I think, would be okay for that. Is that right?
Yeah,
if you're
going to
give them that, they should give them that.
Great playing, everybody. But who's the winner, Joanne?
Well, Pat, it seems to be a tie.
All right.
Well.
Yeah. In the event of a tie, and this goes back to the late 60s, guys, your piece was twice as long as the girls, plus the girls have definitely hotter outfits. Girls, play us out.
Say, Pat, did you know that podcasts of Quartet Feud are available at npr.org/podcast?
Tell me more, Joanne.
Well, Pat, our good friends at the Jack Ken Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Ken Cook Young Artist Award. And you can learn more about that at jackkencookfoundation.org. And you know what, Pat? That's Cook with an E.
Okay, time for your big prize, Serafina. What are you going to play to take us out?
We'll be playing Don't Step on My Toes by Gwyneth Walker.
A great way to end Quartet Feud today, and a great way to end From the Top, as it happens. I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Serafina, you may take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions and Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Razeman and our technical director is Barrett Willett with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks to our director of education, Anne Gregg. This was her last roadshow on her way to a new job at Carnegie Hall. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from the Music Performance Fund, striving to enrich lives by sponsoring thousands of free concerts in the United States. Schedules at musicpf.org. From the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable. On the web at grdodge.org. And from the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in children, their families, and their communities. On the web at wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.